Lord, bless this time tonight and bless the word to us. Bless how it's shared and bless how it's heard, and help it to produce in us a hundredfold return in the coming days. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about joy. And what I want to tell you first about joy is that it's a supernatural thing. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is an emotion that comes out of your mind. Joy is a power that from God that comes out of your human, your born-again human spirit. Joy is very much like peace, or it's very much like patience. These things are much deeper than the mental realm. Joy is really an interesting subject because, I walk around every day just knowing things on the inside about God and about me and about my place in eternity and about my destiny on earth and about what I'm called to do and about how the day's going to go, because God has always given me a picture of it in my mind, and it's just amazing. And I'm sitting there with this joy inside because I know that I'm blessed, and I also know that no matter what comes up in my day, I'm going to be in joy no matter what. There's a famous book in the 80s by a Christian guy, and it said, the title is, "If Satan Can't Steal Your Joy, He Can't Have Your Goods." And that's it's a pretty good book. And but you see, if Satan gets your joy, then he's going to do something like trip you up, make you fall, make you fall back into sin, make you fall into depression, anger. So inner joy is powerful. It helps you do everything in the kingdom. Forgive, love. And this joy is really, it's like, I call it LUI, living under the influence. And you, when you are in joy, sometimes it can get so powerful that it makes you drunk in God. And I don't drink, but I get drunk a lot. And the drunkenness is very similar to using alcohol or a drug or something, because if I'm standing up, I kind of rock a little bit, and I feel a little strange, but it's very powerful. It's very intoxicatingly powerful and pleasant, you know? And that's what God wants. And that's what God wants to give us. So if you're at Nehemiah, go to Nehemiah 8. Verse 10, I'll read it. It says, "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And I don't know how many times I've heard that saying in Christianity. This is a very big saying in Christianity. The joy of the Lord is my strength. My strength is, see, that really fits exactly what I just told you. That every day there's this under abiding joy, undergirding on in the foundation of my thought processes. But it isn't really in my thinking. It's in my human spirit. Joy comes out of here. And things are funny. Things are happy, funny, blessed. In fact, happy to me is a product of joy. Joy's the parent, and happiness is the child. See, now I think a lot of people, like people in here that I see, everything is based on happiness or non-happiness. And they're stunted because if you're not happy, they're having a bad day. But if you're not happy, you can still have joy. Because, as I said, joy is something that's released out of knowing you belong to God, knowing God is in you. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And joy is something that we're going to look at more of the word about joy. Just remember that one. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
I am feeling joy right now for a very specific reason.
What is
it? I had no idea where Nehemiah was in the Bible because I've never read a word of it, as I just told you. And when I opened it, I was two pages from the beginning of chapter 8. But the first thing I looked at was verse 10. And I said out loud, I think I know where you're going to start. It was exactly there.
Yeah. That's good. That's the human, that is the human spirit. Go to Romans 14. See, what we're doing here by looking up these passages is we're building a case. We are building a case for the subject that we're getting across. Romans 14, there's just one verse I want you to see. Verse 17, I'll read this now. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So this shows that there are these three big oak trees that are planted in your human spirit that grow up into a huge things. Righteousness, peace, and joy. These are all products of the Holy Spirit. You need to get this, really get this down, that happiness is not of the Holy Spirit. Happiness is a state of your mind. It's fleeting. But joy is a work of the Holy Spirit that comes out of your human spirit. And so, and the kingdom of God is not food and drink. Okay? It's not, hey, my cupboards are full. Or hey, it's communion day at church. It isn't about that. It's about the joy you have before you get to church, you know? So righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now we'll move on. Go to Acts. Acts. It's just past Romans. It's just before Romans. Acts 2. Sorry about that. Acts 2. Verse. Everyone in Acts 2:13. It says, others mocking. Okay, wait, what are these people doing? These apostles get filled with the Spirit and they're speaking in these tongues that are understood by people that are nearby. Okay? God is giving the apostles these tongues and they're speaking in them, and there's people from all nationalities around, and they can hear all these apostles and all these other people too. There's actually 120 people that this happened to. And they're all speaking in these different tongues of these different nationalities, and everybody's hearing them in their own language. And it's kind of like a miracle. It's a miracle sign and a wonder. And they mock them and they say, these guys are drunk on wine. And this is in verse 13. Others mockingly said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For they are not drunk, as you suppose, since this is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming and great and notable day of the Lord. And it come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what I mainly wanted you to see is the part about they appear drunk. I've seen drunk Christians, and it's funny. I've seen Christians where the power of God was so powerful in a meeting that they're on the ground and slurring and laughing, and they literally had to be carried out and driven home and put in their houses. I've seen this. And I've had laughter come over me so hard that I'm just busting up. I'm just... this one guy, we were laughing through this church service. And then when we get home, my phone rings, and I pick it up, and this guy's laughing. And I started laughing, and then I am laughing into the night. And it was just funny. Go back to John 17. See, these apostles looked drunk. But God kind of had a plan about this joy thing, I believe. John 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 17, verse 13. It says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Okay, so this joy emanates from Jesus. So this is something that we need to understand, that is, if you know Christ and He lives inside your heart, you have this joy that flows from Him. This joy is coming out of eternity. You see, it's something that's bubbling out of Him, flowing up from the inside of you, flowing into... But you see, getting a revelation is helpful. Getting an understanding through the Word here is helpful to you to not have blocks to it and to not let it be stolen out of your life. See, because we have an enemy. Like me waking up late tonight, my wife making me... my wife waking me late, and I have to shower and shave and dress and put my stuff together and pack my lunch. You know, it's like I needed more time than just 30 minutes to do that. And then I get in my car and I'm driving down here and I go, "I forgive her, Lord, in Jesus' name. I forgive her." Because you see, being irritated is going to take my joy, you know? And I'm not going to let anything take my joy. And so... Jesus says, "My joy." He says that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Did you know there's a passage? I don't have it. I don't think I have it written down here. There's a joy where it says Jesus is more joyful than all His fellows. The Bible says Jesus was more joyful. In other words, if you hung around Jesus and the disciples, they were always laughing and joking, and Jesus was the biggest one of all. I saw a movie where made by somebody where Jesus and them are all getting in a river to get wash their face and get a drink and stuff, and Jesus is looking around at them, and all of a sudden He's splashing everybody like that, you know, and then they're splashing Him back, and they have this big splash fight. And then I see in this same movie, they're all walking down the road together, and all of a sudden Jesus runs and jumps on one of their backs like this, you know, piggyback style. And then the guy is running down the road almost falling over with Jesus sitting on his back. And I thought, that is great how they depicted that, because He was human and He had humor, and God has humor. I mean, God laughs all the time at us, with us or at us, you know. So the Bible, you better believe it, the Bible says Jesus had more joy than all His fellows. And so He was trying to infuse them with joy all the time, you know, and trying to increase their joy and show them that they weren't supposed to have a care in the world. And so we read John 17:13. Hey, let me read you something. I've read these to a few of you. I wrote some of these things. I have this thing I write for Facebook called I Asked God. These are all on one website on Facebook. I have a book. It's called a book website. And so that means these are all going to be in a book someday for pastors to read to their churches, you know. Well, I'll read you a few of them because they're humorous. And I told God one of my relatives got a kidney stone, but I prayed for him. He said, "This too shall pass."
That's good.
Yeah. I asked God if he remembered that sin I confessed last week. His reply, "What sin?" Now, they're not all funny, but they are all meaningful, you know. I asked God how big he was. His reply just yesterday, "Still checking. I asked him a year ago." It's one of the...
May I suggest one more?
Go ahead.
If you can find it in there. I don't remember the exact wording of it, but...
I'll find it, probably.
It ended with an answer about asking questions.
I'll get to it.
Okay.
That's the big climax here.
Oh, I see.
My nephew called me one day. He says, "I was just watching The Simpsons, and Bart Simpson's always trying to trip up his Christian neighbor. So he goes next door, knocks on his door, and he says, 'Hey, so-and-so, I want to just ask you, could Jesus get a burrito so hot that he couldn't himself eat it?'" I asked God how he fit into the Ark of the Covenant. Remember that thing that was in the book, or in the movie, Indiana Jones? God fit in there. He fit himself in there. He said, "Easy, I just will myself to the size that many in the modern church think I am." I asked God if he's into math since the cross looks like a plus sign. He said, "Yes, I was adding my family." I asked God how long Cain hated his brother. He said, "As long as he was able." Now, for this one, you'd have to understand, Pharaoh's men were chasing Moses and the Israelites, and God was trying to slow them down, so God made a pillar of fire that reached up to the sky so to block their way. And then they went down by the water, and then Moses, while they were behind the pillar of fire, they went down by the water, and then the Israelites were crying to Moses, saying, "They're going to get us now." And Moses says, "No, God's going to save us." And God said, "Reach out your staff and part the water." The water all parted. Then they were walking across, and the ground was dry. God caused the ground to get dry. They walked on as dry land, it says. And then Pharaoh's men got down in that and through that. And when they were down there on the dry land, the angels came and pulled the wheels off their chariots. And it says, and they drove them heavily. I mean, they were still beating their horses to get their chariots across without wheels. Now, how stupid is that? That's why I wrote this one. It says, I asked God why Pharaoh's men did a dumb thing like chase Moses and God's people into a sea that was apparently parted. He said, because they found a way around the pillar of fire. Stupid. I don't know if you know the... Do you know the verse that says, don't try to pull the splinter out of your brother's eye without first pulling the log out of your eye. Okay. I wrote here, I asked God about a few people I knew are having trouble pulling the logs out of their eye. He said, I'm surprised you could even see them. I asked God if my mansion in heaven would be near his mansion. He said, will you be asking a lot of questions up here? Okay, I asked God if he removed the animal waste of the ark on the ark for Noah, or did Noah and his sons pick it up? He said, how do you think it got the name manure?
Manure.
I asked God why Methuselah lives so long. He said, he didn't ask me too many questions.
That's the ones I was talking about.
I asked God if it was fair to put an appealing apple in the tree to lure Adam and Eve. He said the fault was not in the apple in the tree, it was the pear on the ground. I asked God if baseball was ever mentioned in the Bible. He said, yes, Genesis 1:1, in the big inning.
In the big inning.
I asked God why Jesus used 2 fish and 5 loaves to feed the 5,000. He said, because the boy's mother did not pack peanut butter and jelly in his lunch. I asked God if Jonah ever got his faith back and went fishing again after the whale incident. He said, yes, but first he stocked up on 10 cases of tartar sauce. I asked God if he liked to watch football games such as the Super Bowl. He said, it's not as fun as if one already knows the winner. I asked God why the lions did not eat Daniel in the lion's den. He said they were on a Daniel fast. I asked God if it was hard to raise Lazarus from the dead. He said, not as hard as convincing those relatives they had no inheritance coming. I asked God if the end time was coming nearer. He said, no, it is stationary and you are getting nearer to it. I asked God why Judas was willing to accept as low as 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. He said, because no one offered him 10 pieces. I asked God if he really made everything in only 6 days. He said, yes, work does expand to the time allotted to it. Did I read you the one about the plus sign?
Yeah.
That's repeated in here. Okay. Okay, these people came against Moses when he's in the wilderness, right after the Red Sea incident. And they challenged him. And it's like Moses had God on his side. They wanted to take over. The leader of the rebellion, his name was Korah. Listen to this one. I asked God if those of Korah's rebellion against Moses in the wilderness were provided enough warning that they were insulting a supreme being and thousands of people could be swallowed up suddenly in the ground. He said, I thought that the lightning bolts, fire, and smoke coming off the mountain might have helped them get the picture. I asked God why the Bible says heaven is as tall as it is wide and long. He said, some of us like the headroom.
Perfect.
I asked God if he was impressed by all the good works I have done lately. He said, my son, you have no idea. I asked God if man's popular vote put presidents in office, or if he alone, God, put the president in office. He said, actually, it's the Electoral College. I asked God if I might get to sit at his head table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said, I thought you might want to help Jesus and I serve. I asked God if I could have some of his time. He said, I don't have any time, I only have eternity, and you can have all of that. I asked God if I had to love everyone today. He said, no, I think the ones who come in contact will be enough. I asked God if he knew that our scientists had kicked Pluto out of our solar system. He said, the last time I looked, it was still there. I asked God if he had anything yet to learn, because after all, being teachable is a godly trait. He said, yes, you are teaching me more patience. Since today's my birthday, I asked God if it was absolutely necessary that I get older every year. He said, you aren't interested in the alternative, are you? Okay, here's the last one. I need someone to do the drum roll and cymbals. No, I'm kidding. Okay. I asked God if mankind had a free will, or if they were like a puppet with God, controlling their every move like a puppet master. He said, I gave them their own will, no strings attached.
Yep. Craig, I asked God if there was baseball in heaven, and he said, would you want there to be if I told you you were pitching the next game?
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. We'll have to get that one on my site there.
Okay.
Isaiah 61.
Help me with where?
Isaiah is kind of in the middle of the Bible, after, before Psalms.
In the 800s.
After Chronicles, Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty of the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Okay, you know what? In the body of Christ, in the Christian church, a lot of churches have taken these doctrines where they cry a lot in their services. They cry, there's a lot of weeping, because there's a lot of scriptures about weeping. But you know what? God comforts those who mourn. Before you have God in your life, you should be mourning, all right? Because we are lost in sin before we get God. And then, once we get God, the time of mourning is over, and the time of joy is here. And that's really what this is saying, is He brings the oil of joy for mourning. And, you know, so the weeping that you see a lot of people do, I mean, they need to understand they are creatures of joy. And God is saying, hey, let's have a party. Let's get drunk on Him. Let's be filled with the Spirit and get drunk. Philippians 4. Go to the back. We're making good time. We're going to make it. Philippians is in the back after Ephesians.
It's one of the little...
Before Timothy. Which one? Ephesians? I mean, Philippians 4.
Philippians 4.
Okay.
Okay, you tell me if you think this is saying we should be weeping all the time and mourning. That's which is a lot what a lot of Christians do. Sour pusses, sour faces. I mean, you know, angry, judging people, judging. You know, Christians are in a lot of Christians are into being angry. You know, demonstrations, social. they're social activists, you know? And it's like God's just called them to all have a big party, you know? And to all just be full of joy. That's what our calling in God is. Philippians 4, verse 3, it says, "And I urge you, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." How often are we supposed to rejoice in the Lord?
Always.
All the time.
Again.
And again, yeah, I say rejoice. And rejoice is just merely the word rejoy. Rejoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Look at 6. Be anxious for nothing. Hey, have you ever seen a drunk that was anxious about anything? I mean, after though they're all plastered, it's like it's kind of like, hey, you missed your credit card payment. Well, I don't care, you know. Hey, they're foreclosing on your house. I don't care. Hey, your wife left. I don't care.
The only thing I was ever anxious for was them to pass that bottle of vodka to me.
Well, look at this. Be anxious for nothing. You know what? You know, the apostles, the disciples were going to go through a whole lot of mess after Jesus left. He didn't tell them everything that they were going to go through. It's not that he lied or withheld truth, but he couldn't afford to tell them that most of them would die, like on crosses or beheaded or put to the sword or eaten by lions, okay? They most all died except one. And then not only them, but all the followers too, like the emperor and Nero, you know, fed them all to the lions, let the gladiators kill them, you know. And, you know, I know Jesus didn't want to keep it from them, but it's kind of like this. Jesus gets back to heaven with the Father. He says, look, there's all my children down there doing what I started. And him and the Father go, I know. We'll get them joyful and we'll make them drunk. We'll keep them drunk. We'll teach them how to stay drunk. We'll let the Holy Spirit make them drunk all the time. And they just won't care about anything. They won't care about if they die tomorrow. They won't care about their problems because they'll be full of the joy of God. We'll just protect them with joy. Do you see the point I'm making?
Mm-hmm.
That the things that trigger people to go drink is like anger and unforgiveness and lack of love. And God is saying, hey, rejoice. Rejoice always. And again, do it some more. And it's like, and it's like, hey, we'll just make these people drunk and they'll be diligent over their responsibilities. But as they go about their responsibilities, they'll be singing while they work, whistling while they work. You know, they'll be full of joy all the time. And we'll just let them live under the influence.
Father.
We'll just let them live under the influence continually, you know? And so that's what I'm trying to say to you, is that we get to live under the influence of the Spirit and live under the influence of drunkenness and joy. You see? Luke 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 6. Luke 6. Okay. Now, in verse 20 it says, Luke 6:20, it says, "He lifted up his eyes towards his disciples and he said, blessed are you, poor." And then in 21 he says, "Blessed are you who hunger. And then he says, "Blessed are you who weep." And then 22 is, "Blessed are when men hate you Okay? Now, watch this. If you dissect this word blessed in the Greek, they're using a word, if you take this apart and look at it in the Greek, they're using a word called makarizo. And the definition of the word makarizo for the word blessed, here's the definition. Big happy.
Happy.
Luke 6:20.
Big happy.
Okay, now, this is Jesus talking, and he's saying to them, the word he's using for blessed, see, in Hebrew and Greek, there's often many, many meanings of one word, okay? So the meaning of the word blessed that he's using is, and you see, usually the word blessed has to do with laughter or breath or joy coming out or breath spoken out. When God speaks a blessing over us, he's speaking words over us with his breath, okay? That's what a blessing is. So you see, laughter is going to create a lot of breath, right? Happiness. Jesus is saying big happy. Now let's read it. I will insert big happy instead of the word blessed. Big happy are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Big happy are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Big happy are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Big happy are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great and in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. See, so you just need to see there, that's the will of Jesus for you. Joy coming out of your inner spirit, flowing out, creating big happy blessings in you at all times. And go to Ephesians 5. We're almost done. Ephesians is in the back. We were just back there by Philippians. I think Ephesians is right before it.
And you recall my journal.
Ephesians.
Look at some of this.
Yeah. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, you're about to hear the will of the Lord from the Apostle Paul. He says, do not be drunk with wine or beer or hard liquor or drugs, which in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. See, he's giving you an alternative that will equally get you drunk. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to read that again.
Yeah.
Because this is the will of the Lord. It says in 17, this is the will of the Lord. Hi, Donnie. Pull up a chair. Okay. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Okay, stop right there. So one way that you exhibit the joy of the Lord and being drunk is to sing, you know, and sing to the Lord, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Someone said that a spiritual song is a song that you make up to God right off the top of your head.
How about a buzz?
What about it? What about a buzz?
Yeah, what about a buzz?
What about a buzz?
What you're saying is that Jesus turned water to wine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If he was against us drinking, why would he turn water to wine?
You're bringing up something inappropriate. Listen, we'll talk about this later, but the wine Jesus used was not alcoholic.
Right.
I'll just say that. Okay. Let's go on. Psalm 126:5. You just need to see that the Apostle Paul said, do not be drunk with wine. And then he said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms 126:5. Okay. Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. Now, this is kind of a prediction of getting born again. Psalm 126:5-6. This is a prediction of being mournful of your sins and then God saving you out of your sins and giving you the joy. And it says here, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so with shouts of joy, my footnote says, with rejoicing, with shouts of joy, with shouts of joy. That's what it says. Shall doubtless come again with shouts of joy. That's what rejoicing means. Rejoicing means shouts of joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. That is having God give you the joy of your new birth. Matthew. Matthew. You're going to, Matthew 5, you're going to be able to come back and think on this in the coming days when you find situations that want to take your joy away. And you're going to be able to say, hey, this is that situation where I'm supposed to walk in joy of God. You know, right here. You're going to have a choice. And you're going to be able to get the victory because you're getting revelation right now of how to do it. Matthew 5, this is just more of that same word. Blessed, big happy are the poor in spirit. For theirs is, verse 3, Matthew 5, 3. Big happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, big happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, big happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed, big happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed, big happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed, big happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the big happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed and big happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 11, blessed and big happy are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You were the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? You know, we're the salt of the earth. That means we're supposed to be fun and exciting to non-believers because we know who we are. We're sons and daughters of God. We know who we are. We know what we're here for. We know what God has done for us. And we can rejoice in knowing and we can have the salt. Now, I just wanted to tell you a few funny stories because one of the men that I heard teach this once, his name is Kevin Dedman, and he took a I may have told you this story several weeks ago, but I'll tell it right now. He took a prayer team to Paris, France, of young people, and they're out praying for the sick on the streets of Paris. Now, you might think Paris is a wonderful place. It might be beautiful to look at, but the people are very poor in spirit. There's a lot of wickedness there. And so these citizens of Paris were going past them, and they were laughing at them, and they were mocking them. They were out praying for people. They were witnessing and praying. They were praying for the sick. And these people are going by, and they were calling obscene names to them and everything. And while they were preaching and praying for people, and this Kevin Dedman was the leader. He was the guy that was out there leading these young people in ministry. And this one guy goes by, and he's flipping them the bird, you know, and it's like, and he's letting them know what he thinks of them. And they just looked at him, and they just kind of laughed and just went back to what they're doing. They didn't do it back. They didn't get mad. They didn't say, well, yeah, you're a mother, you know, which a lot of people would be tempted to do, you know. And they get down the road a little ways. They're still praying for people. And here comes this guy that gave them the obscene gesture. And he's got a different look on his face. And he's very serious. And he says, you know, you saw what I did to you. And they said, yeah, we saw you. And he says, you know, while I was doing that to you, something hot and powerful went up my arm, and I had a severely injured shoulder, and that's the arm I was using to do that to you. And something hot and powerful went up my arm and healed my arm while I was flipping you the bird. You know? Now that's funny too. But not only is that funny, but that just reveals what kind of God we have. You can't make him... You know, people go, oh, I've done the unforgivable thing. I've cursed God. You know what? You can call God every name in the book. And then he'll just say, I love you back. He will not fall off his throne for your anger at him. You know? And this guy is mocking God's people. You know? And what does God do? He gets his attention. Who had the last laugh here? The people of God had the last laugh. And this guy went home receiving their message. You know? And God would do this for any of us here. God would do that for any of us. And if they don't come back immediately, they might come back in 3 years if you know them, you know, and apologize to you and say, I was wrong. Would you pray for me? I really need God. To be honest with you, I've had that happen dozens of times. Dozens of times. Relatives, when I first got saved, I was so radically on fire for God, and I made so many people upset. I was probably slightly obnoxious, I admit it. But most new Christians are kind of like a bowl in a china closet, you know. They want to pray for everybody, preach to everybody. And God starts, after a while, God starts teaching you that there are times to preach and times to just love them and times to just be shut up and don't speak to people at all. And so you see, there's a way to try to help people that doesn't, you don't have to alienate them as much as some of us do as Christians.
Greg, may I real quickly? Do you have any problem with me reading 14, 15, and 16 real quick?
Go ahead.
Because it reminds me of what I was saying a few times ago when you were doing the one on love about not hoarding God's love.
Okay.
You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen. I like that. That is good. That is so good. So, you know what? The Holy Spirit... Did you know that Jesus compares receiving the Holy Spirit with drinking Him? He says, that come to me and drink. He says that to somebody. Drink of the water I give you, and it will flow up out of you a well of everlasting life. And so we drink in God. You know, I was at a men's retreat a few years ago, and I stood up one night and I said, I got to make a confession to all of you. They all looked at me funny. I said, I've been drinking today. They thought, oh no, Greg's lost it. I said, I've been drinking today. In fact, I was drinking all day. In fact, and then the more I said, the more they kind of realized that I wasn't serious. I said, I was drinking in my bunk before I got up. And I was drinking in the bathroom while I was getting ready. And I was drinking back in my room. I've been drinking every chance I get. Whenever I go anywhere in secret, I grab another drink. I've been drinking in God today. And now I'm drunk. And I'm sorry. I'm under the influence. But that's all right, because now I'm uninhibited. And then I proved to them I was uninhibited by moonwalking for them, like Michael Jackson. I could. One time, we get this man of God that we know named Dave Duell, that he comes to town sometimes. He may be in town in August, by the way. But anyway, he's a guy that I've learned much from, and he heals the sick. He started out as a cattle rancher, praying for his cows, and he's getting so many of them healed that all his fellow ranchers are bringing them their cows. So he switched to people. He says, I used to be in cows, now I'm in sheep. And he says, but you know, we still muck the stalls of people because they leave a lot of droppings. He's speaking symbolically, of course. But anyway, he was doing a meeting once, and I may have told you this story before, and I apologize if you've heard it before, but he was doing a meeting once, and it was a healing meeting, and this lady, he says, anyone in here sick? And this old lady starts coming up the center aisle, and she's got this walker, and she's real slow, and she picks it up and goes, boom, boom, and she's coming real slow, you know. So they wait for like an eternity for her to get up there. And everyone goes, oh great, what's he going to do now? Heal this old lady who can barely walk? And he says, well, being the man of faith and power that I was, and he's on a real high platform, probably like this high. And this is like 20 some years ago, he's in his 50s. And so he says, I thought I would just run and leap off that stage and land right in front of her, you know, and show everybody what an energetic guy I was. He says, well, I misjudged how far away she was. He says that what actually I meant to do ended up being a flying body block on this lady. And he says all the people could see was me and her going back down the aisle backwards, with me, her, and the walker going end over end. And he says I ended up laying on top of her, her flat on her back. He says, all I could think of as I was trying to get off of her was lawsuit, broken bones. Well, okay, not only was she not injured at all, but the very thing she was coming forward for was healed in her body. She was healed. So how he applied his body, which was a total mistake, God had his back, you know? And so so these are just funny stories. He had one other story. He says that he was in a meeting once, and God talks to Dave, and there was this woman that was going to disrupt his meeting. She was going to come forward, because the devil likes to do that. The devil likes to speak up when you're teaching. Anyone see an example of that tonight? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Left the building.
Huh?
Should leave the building, I should say.
Well, Anyway, the devil likes to raise off-the-wall stuff while you're teaching sometimes. This witch was coming forward in his meeting, and she's coming up the center aisle, and she's still like 30, 40 feet down there away. And the Holy Spirit spoke today while he was speaking to this group. He says, that's a witch down there coming towards you, and she's going to disrupt this meeting. She's going to come up and challenge him face to face. And God said, blow on her. So while she was still real far away, Dave went, and he let out a great big breath. And he said, somehow that's all God needed him to do. Remember a week or two ago, God's legal access? We do the little thing, God does the big thing. We blow. God made a whirlwind in the building. A whirlwind caught that witch. Now you can believe this or not, but I suggest you believe it. If you knew Dave DeWell, you would believe it. This whirlwind caught her and she started spinning. She was spinning in the middle of the aisle like this, real fast. And all of a sudden she went, wham! And she went down flat on the ground, unconscious. And when she woke up, she was like, praising God. She was all free, delivered. So Dave says, well, one time I was... You see, people, when Dave gets... I saw this myself. One time this old couple, they're not too old. They're like 70, 65 or 70. And they went up to Dave because they had a lot of mess in their life, a lot of bad circumstances. It was hugely financial. They're very depressed. They were very long-faced. And Dave says, they went up in front of Dave and they said, and he had all these people watching. And he goes, I want you to do something for me. Hold out your hands. God's going to give you some blessings. Hold out your hands so you can hold them. And they held out their hands, both of them. And Dave went up to them and he started blowing. He goes, whew. He starts blowing over and over and over. And all of a sudden these people, they were acting like they had this heavy weight. And they're going like this. And the more he blew, the heavier it got. Till they were just staggering all over the place. And all of a sudden, they both fell down on the ground. And then while they're on the ground, they went into this laughter. And they were just laughing and laughing hysterically. And they laughed for like 20 minutes. And then it spread through the whole place. And then everybody in the whole place was laughing their heads off. And that was an outbreak of God's Holy Spirit. And when you see someone that can't hold what's in their hand and it's invisible, you go, oh my goodness. You know? So, last Wednesday night, I don't know if any of you ever seen me like pick up someone's feet and align their legs, but God does that through me. If someone has like a short leg or something, and frequently people have short legs because you can just get them jammed. One can be jammed like up into your hip, you know, and usually it puts your back out of whack, and the chiropractor will pull on legs. You know, but I could just pick up people's legs and let them rest in my hand. And then I say, legs, you will be aligned with one another. Short leg, you grow out. You be aligned with one another. And that leg will go, whoop, just like that, and grow out. You know? And so we see that. You'd have that happen to you, and I think I did that to you once. I think I've even done that to you. Okay, and you got a back healing in here once when I prayed for you.
Yes, yep. I remember that.
So anyway, this other night, I was doing a meeting at my church, and there's all these people there, and I was training them how to do this leg thing. And there's this lady, and I had her come up to do it, and I picked a volunteer out of the audience, and I didn't know anything about his situation, but the Holy Spirit picked the right guy, okay? And his name was Chuck, and he comes up and he sits there, and then I have this lady kneel down and I say, you're going to pick up his heels, you're going to hold him up like this, and you're going to tell them to line up. And he goes, wait, before you start, he says, my legs, if this happens, this is truly a creative miracle, because I broke my tibia and I have a real short leg here on this right side, and it didn't grow right. And this happened when I was a teenager, and it just didn't grow right. And he said, now, ever since I've had these, I've had this spacer in my shoes where they, I have to have these inserts that make my legs even, you know. He's got, it's shimmed, okay, is what it is. He says, so anyway, I said, okay, I said to the lady, you tell the legs now to line up. She goes like this. As soon as she says, legs line up in Jesus' name, you know what? This one right leg, which was in her left hand, was yanked out of his hand by an invisible force. And the leg went like this. His leg went way back like this. And he was all bound up like that. And it looked like he was in pain, but really he was just in shock. And he's going, and he's looking at me, and I'm standing here, and he's going, I'm not doing this. I didn't do this. He says, and it's real hot. My leg's real hot. And then all of a sudden, I said, well, okay, we'll just have to wait for God here, see what's going to happen. And so then all of a sudden his legs started loosening up, and he was able to extend it back out. And then she grabbed it, and she saw them both come perfectly equal. And then she set them down on the ground. And then he says, well, now I'm going to stand up, and if my leg is healed, then I will be all off kilter. I will be unequal, uneven. I won't be walking. Yes. And so he stood up and he was like this, and he just started laughing. He ran over, he took his shoes off, he pulled these inserts out of his shoes, he put his shoes back on, and then he said, and then he comes up, and I let him share what happened to him, you know, right in my device here, which is on the internet. I'm just telling you that was interesting. It was funny, but it was shocking that God just grabbed that leg and just started working on it. And he had no control of his leg. We didn't touch his leg. His leg was bent back like this real far. We'll do that one of these nights. We're out of time tonight, or I'd do it right now. But I'll let some of you do it if you want, because it works. If I'm around, well, this is the way it works. The faith will transfers into other people that are around. The faith I have to do it kind of transfers so that new people can do it. You see? It's kind of how it works. And then after a while, you can do it every time yourself. In other words, I'm not supposed to be Mr. Super Faith and all you just observe. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be duplicating myself so that you do everything I can do. And it would pleasure me if all of you could do many times more than I could do.
And the teacher, you're duplicating the Lord.
Yes, the teacher is always excited and blessed when his pupils exceed him and do more, you know? And so let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for these things. They're fun and exciting. We thank you for your joy. As we fall asleep tonight, heads on pillows, just we. How about all of them, Lord? We just ask in Jesus' name that we are understanding and knowing the joy, your joy that's in us. And in the coming days, tomorrow, no one's going to take our joy. No one's going to steal it. Not the devil, not people. We just thank you, Lord, for that wonderful, amazing joy, which is a great foundation. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Your joy is our strength, Lord. Your joy is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.